Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 512. Still a couple tickets left for the Thursday and late Saturday night show at 11:59 and 59 seconds on Saturday night, May 1st and 3rd. I'll be at Caroline's the 1st through the 3rd. Thursday show has tickets and late show Saturday has tickets. If you go to carolines.com, come on out. I'll be there. It's in New York. I enjoy New York. I haven't been there in a while. Please don't be cold. Please don't be cold. I am frail. I'm frail. The cold, it frightens me. I'd like to thank for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Audible.com. If you've listened to an audiobook, if someone has read a book to you in your car or on your mobile device, there's a very good chance that it came from Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the entirety of the internet. They have over 150,000 titles. You can purchase individual books, or you can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives book credits each month for a low, low monthly fee. So Audible.com, I know the Freakonomics guys have a new book coming out called Think Like a Freak. It's not out yet, but I did see a little banner for it up on Audible. So I would say that's probably the one I'm going to go for. I'm going to listen to that one first as soon as that one comes out. You can get a free audiobook and 30-day trial by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/nerdist with a capital N. I know that's a lot of information. It's not audible.com. It's audiblepodcast.com/nerdist with a capital N. And you'll get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial. Thanks to Audible for sponsoring this podcast, which is Jim Rash. Jim Rash came back. He was on with Nat Faxon a couple of, a little while back. How long ago was it? 6 months, maybe? 6 months? Itch? Months? Long enough that it was good to have him back, and he just came on solo this time. Did he murder Nat Faxon? I'm not sure. He is. Okay. Because Nat wasn't there, so I just assume that Jim killed him. Jim, who you may know from Community or an Oscar winner for writing The Descendants or The Way, Way Back, which he and Nat did together. Both of those he did with Nat. Now, Jim has another show called The Writer's Room, which is Fridays on the Sundance Channel. It's also on Netflix, but the second season comes back, or it is back. It's on Fridays, 9 p.m. on the Sundance Channel, but a brilliant guy, one of the best improvisers ever, Jim Rash. And this was, I really enjoyed this. I enjoy the podcasts that become improv-a-loozas. Especially when people who are really good at improv come on. I feel like I can yes-and some things, but then when you sit down with a master like Jim Rash, like, oh, that's how improv's supposed to work. So here we go, Nerdist Podcast number 512 with Jim Rash.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Well, since we had you on the podcast last, yeah. I saw The Way, Way Back.
Oh. Good.
And I really liked it.
Oh, good.
A lot.
Thank you.
I thought it was a great movie.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
you. Teared up.
Yeah.
What? Teared up pretty hardcore.
Did you see it on a plane?
Yes.
Joan always cries at movies on planes. That's why I asked him that.
Yeah.
But I was going on a lot of flights.
I did that with, I think it was Up. I think I sat like this.
You don't have to be on a plane to.
No, I know, but I'm just
to
saying,
be emotionally
I saw it on,
destroyed.
I saw
by
it
that.
On a plane, but I was in, up on up. I definitely had it.
Yeah, I saw a swing vote on a plane, and I was sobbing at the end of it. Yes,
swing vote.
Yeah, you know, with the Kevin Costner when he.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was just like this.
The
group.
Americana got to
I
you?
Think so. Yeah. Americana, like Kevin Costner in general. It's like, or, you know, slow motion home runs also get make me tear up.
Yeah.
Because every time you see a slow motion home run, all you can think to yourself is,
God.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yep.
42 well, Field of Dreams, you're in.
I'm in. I don't even like watching normal baseball.
Yeah. I think Bad News Bears has one.
I had never. The Natural probably kills you every time.
Yeah.
The, we were just sort of fucking around Netflix last night. Oh, let's just put something on while we eat dinner. And I'd never seen Bernie.
Oh, Bernie's God. Great. Oh,
was that the Jack Black one?
Yeah, yes.
I never saw that.
Richard Linklater is the director of it, and it's based off a true story. And then it's really neat because there's a bunch of interviews of the people that actually, like, I mean, you think they're character, you think they're actors at first. At least I did.
Yeah.
And then you realize it was the people from the town, and like it kind of shows how eccentric the people in that Texas town are.
It was a great movie, and I feel like didn't really get marketed the right way because I think the marketing people probably just didn't. They were in this weird spot of, oh, well, it's Jack Black, so it's got to look like a Jack Black movie, but it's not really. I mean, and he's fantastic in it.
Yeah.
He's, and Shirley MacLaine's great in it. It's a fucking great movie.
McConaughey?
Yeah, McConaughey's in it.
That's right.
Being McConaughey, it's great.
Yeah.
I really enjoy. I really didn't know much of what it was. I was like, oh, is he just like a wacky character? And it, like, but he is. But it's grounded in this real sort of fucked up story.
Especially like I went on and researched like footage of that actual guy to see how much he played with that dude, and he's pretty spot on with it.
Really?
The guy's that like that silly of a man.
Yeah, it's like that. What was the Giamatti movie where you saw? That's it.
American Splendor.
Yeah,
I thought
that was. I love.
Same sort of thing. You see a craft service or whatever. That weird little.
Well, it's funny because you see Judah Friedlander doing the character of the guy, the ultimate nerd.
Yeah,
it's
the Purdy nerd.
Yeah, and you're just like, all right, Judah, this is a bit big.
But then you see the actual guy.
I like the purple jelly beans.
You're like in our faces.
I remember that guy. I remember when MTV put him in commercials. I am the ultimate party nerd.
Yeah.
I remember those commercials when they were actual commercials.
Yeah.
But when you came in, I was talking about how I discovered NASA radio when I was watching when the lunar eclipse happened about 2 weeks ago.
Blood Moon.
Instead of starring Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
rather than just stick my head out the window and watch it happen in real time, I was just watching a stream of it on NASA's Ustream, and they were playing this song after song. It's like, it's fucking really great music. It's just like progressive, interesting rock music.
Prog rock. It has a name.
No, I like to say full words the way it is. So I was listening to the National Aerostatic Space Association. And then I realized like it was a NASA radio. It's this thing called Third Rock Radio, which is NASA's radio station. And it's an actual streaming, 24/7 streaming radio station. And they play fucking great music.
What?
And then they'll drop in every once in a while. I'm like, with NASA experts and like, and you know, and here's so-and-so from explaining why it's important to go to Mars. Well, Mars is very important because of the atmosphere, and it tells us a lot about our past. Yeah. And then
now here's
into
David
like,
Bowie.
Or into like St. Vincent or someone. It's fucking really. And so if you get the NASA app.
I thought you said it was good music.
Okay, well, maybe just one.
Just this one moment.
Yeah, that's,
NASA was like, let's just play some piece of shit.
It seems like it could be just a coincidence.
Now, okay. Do you think that there's something underplaying all that great music, reminding you to like really push for space and tell us that, you know, like space should, you know, keep science in schools? You know,
well, they are doing that, but as they call it, it's Third Rock. Like, and they keep saying like discovering new worlds of music or something like that. But in general. Okay, so that song.
No, I was just, you know.
That's good.
No matter what it was, I probably
would have
made that
joke. Yeah.
Welcome.
I want to take money
welcome
away from NASA.
But then, what are you? The government? But then there's also NASA television. You can see like streaming
what?
NASA shit. Yeah, the NASA app. It's great. It's fantastic. I've been greatly enjoying
the NASA app.
The NASA app. But we're here to talk about Jim Rash and Jim Rash's projects and Jim Rash's movies and Jim Rash's television shows, like The Writer's Room, 9 p.m. on the Sundance Channel?
Yes, Sundance Channel.
But it's also on Netflix because I just saw it on Netflix
last
night.
Yes, the first season's on Netflix right now, but the new season's on Sundance.
Yeah.
On Friday nights.
So are you a writer? No, but what was your did you pitch the show to Sundance or
no, they approached me, like the producers, and had sort of, I guess, taken this idea to Sundance along with them. And
you've won an Academy Award.
Well, they were like, yeah, you know, I think it was partly, you know, I'm, you know, a little improv background, having writing, I'm interested in that kind of stuff. They knew I was raised by television, as a child. I just love the idea of sitting around with, you know, the writing staffs of great shows and shooting the shit, so
have,
to speak.
Have you written, because I know you write screenplays, but have you written on shows like in writers' rooms?
No, I've never actually staffed. I wrote one episode of Community, the fourth season.
Yeah.
But that was my only, like, and that was 2 weeks in the writers' room, but I don't really have that experience. So I sort of like approach it as a conversation. Like I know where I'm going, but I don't really know where they're gonna, what the answer
was. Was that the episode where Dean gets a real big dick and just fucks all the ladies?
Yeah. I pitched it and they were like, I don't know. It's like, you can't shut this story down. That Dean has a big dick and roll cameras. They're like, Jim, you're actually just in the writer's room. Roll cameras.
Wait, I didn't even dick out.
Third act.
I didn't even think about it that I play the Dean in the show. Sorry, I'm such in a writer's mind right now. I didn't even think of that.
I don't even know if this is a great story idea, guys, but what if the Dean's got a big dick?
And then it just
Are we holding from the laugh?
That's my favorite writer's room thing, is the guy that like just like brings down the expectations, like this is Dom butt, or I knew a guy in a writer's room.
I'm totally that guy.
This is the bad pitch, lower expectations.
This sucks, but I knew a dude in a writer's room. I worked on a show, and he would every time he had an idea for a bit, he would act like it was just some, he was talking about a dream he had. He's like, I had this dream where there was like a guy, and it was clearly he was pitching a bit, but wanted to not have any ownership over it.
Right, I had this dream where 7-Elevens were crazy, and then one aisle's all batteries, and then another aisle's air fresheners.
Like, it's still from his brain, so he can claim ownership if it works. But if it doesn't, it's just a dumb dream.
Just a dumb dream. Yeah. You can't control your dreams.
These are just the buffers and layers of separation we create between our egos and the rest of the world. Basically, it's just, they're basically just safety pads for the ego.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is. So Writer's Room is now, you're in season two now.
Yeah, we just we shot them all. We did like six. Scandal was last week. And then we did sort of a Walking Dead, but it's more about adapting comic books. Mm-hmm. So we had Robert Kirkman, and we talked with the guys who brought Smallville to the screen. And then we did House of Cards, and we did Sons of Anarchy, and The Good Wife, and Pretty Little Liars. So
nice.
Yes.
What have you learned?
I've learned. I've learned that I think the best part about it is you realize that even the ones that you thought were just geniuses, which are like Bo Willimon in House of Cards, they all have really bad days, which is wonderful to hear. Yeah. Like that things shut down, like stories fall apart and they go the wrong direction and they have to fix it. So that always makes you feel better because you feel like I'm alone.
One of my favorite quotes about writing was when Vince Gilligan was on, and I said to him, "Do you like writing?" And do you like the process of writing? And he goes, "I like having written."
Yeah.
It's just like he loves like that he
the
did
past
it,
of it. Yes.
But then just but slogging through it is, you know.
Oh yes, there are some people who love that stuff, but it is I find it grueling. It's labored and grueling. Depends on how you do it. Some people are like, I'm just gonna write from my heart and just let it flow. I'm not gonna worry about it. I'll come back. And then there are people like me who obsess about one scene and will not let it go.
No, that's dumb. You know? No, that's dumb.
No, that's dumb. That's not dumb. That's dumb.
Stupid. No one will ever like it. Why would anyone?
Yeah.
Why would I think that?
This is terrible.
Oh, God. but did you learn any tricks?
I don't know about the early the first season, I remember, I can't remember, it was... Well, so I heard through a number of people that when they hit writer's block, they would run an errand. So they would think of something that they knew they could just quickly do, like dry cleaning or something. And naturally, your brain sort of rewards you by stop thinking about it. And you're sort of just, a remedial task. And it was true. If you're sitting there and staring and then you walk off and say, I'm going to, go get that milk I've been thinking about.
Yeah. Then you come back
old school. Old school.
And you write a scene about milk.
And you write a scene about
milk. You have to go pick up milk. Don't they just deliver it to your door? Doesn't the milkman come to your door and bring you glass bottles full of milk? And
clink,
your bread.
Clink, clink, clink.
Bread, too.
Too.
But then you would think of it.
On your type troller.
And you would think of it, which was sort of nice.
I started a show at Meltdown that's every 2 weeks that to force myself to write 20 minutes of new material every 2 weeks, and then two other comics come on and they each do 20 minutes of new material.
Yeah.
And the show's free, so there's no pressure from the audience, knows what the deal is, and I sat the night before the show, I had absolutely nothing. I was staring at a blank page, like, I can't. All right, I'll just start typing something. And then, 30 minutes later, I had a page full of stuff, and it wasn't all amazing. So I don't know if any of it was amazing, but there was usable stuff in there. If I had talked myself out of this the way my brain wanted to, because it's convenient and it's safe to talk yourself out of things,
right.
I wouldn't have, you can do it. I think a lot of times you just fucking have to do it. There's no trick to doing it.
No, there is. I mean, the truth is if you stare at a blank page, then you will have the worst time. But if you just spit something out, even if you're just writing nonsense on that page, just the fact of your brain seeing progress or seeing some words to play with, you instantly start getting more into a rewrite phase already.
Are you currently writing something now?
Well, we Nat Faxon turned in a thing that we had written for Searchlight. So like Vince, it was just I'm glad it's done. We turned it in. So we did that, and we wrote this action comedy for Kristen Wiig, and we're trying to get that together. But those are the two things that are sort of.
Did you write
out there.
The Descendants 2, The Descent, which is all about George Clooney and a couple girls go into a cave.
In that piece of land, they go camping.
Then they go down into the cave, and there are these weird
creatures.
It all
ties together, because the first one felt like it left it a lot of open-ended stuff.
Yeah, and I felt like it could have used a real heavy sci-fi element to it.
Oh, my God, yeah, because you're like, why did you want this land so much? And then the girls are like, Dad, why'd you want this land? And then literally that first act, he walked down there, he's like, you knew all along. Yes, this is a secret world.
Yeah, exactly. And it's run by Bo Bridges.
It's Bo Bridges.
But wouldn't that be fun, though, if you could just do whatever you want? Is to take a movie but then do the sequel in a completely different genre.
Completely different genre. You took this sort of comedy drama and made it a huge sci-fi thing where Bo Bridges pulls off the mask, which was just him as a human form.
Yeah.
And now he's an alien form.
Yeah,
but it looks exactly still like Bo Bridges.
No, exactly. Yes. So that it's very meta.
So it's expensive.
And then George says to his daughters, he's actually your father.
What?
And he goes, but why did we take this long journey to reconnect with you? Don't worry about it. This is the sequel.
And then you just need a really good sound, like a Moogie synthy soundtrack.
But with a little hint of Hawaiian music, traditional, because you got to, it's so smart.
Yeah, and you want it to be about the land and
just
Hawaii.
Just a dubstep remix of a Brudda Is song.
what is an example of a Brudda Is song?
Well, he did the Over the Rainbow, the one that everyone knows.
That
had a bunch of movies. And then he did a bunch of kind of Hawaiian, actual Hawaiian.
Which you really want to hear mixed in with.
I'm sure that's, I haven't been back home in a while.
I'm really butchering. It does
work, though. He does do a lot of those calls. He does do a lot of those, Hawaiian style calls that would work well in dubstep music. Just the whoo bada stuff like that.
I dubstep to me comes so out of nowhere that all of a sudden I feel like I'm just thrown into a machine that I didn't ask to be thrown into, and it's just all the gears all around me, and I'm scared, and I don't know which direction to look.
That's what I liked about when I first heard dubstep, because everyone was making fun of it. Then I heard it, and I was like, this. I didn't understand it, and it made me so interested in it. I didn't get how it came to be.
Yeah, how did it come to be? Do we know?
Skrillex was camping in an abandoned factory planet.
He had long hair.
This seems made up.
Yeah.
Your and tone is telling me.
He found the AllSpark device.
Oh,
which
wait. Now I'm back.
Turns
now this feels real.
Robots into
robots. Okay,
vehicles.
Now,
they can turn into
me.
Any kind of vehicle that they want.
Oh.
And so it is dubstep, he reasoned, was essentially the music of transforming.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's something along those. I think it was something along those lines. Or some kids on some computers and shit.
Yeah, it's one of those two.
Yeah, I think
yours sounds right.
Yeah, yours is better.
Yours is better.
I want to live in that world.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Transformers 4 is coming out soon. And you could just go watch it.
I really hope they get Nickelback or Creed to do a cover of Dare to Be Stupid for one of the Transformers movies.
You can dare to be stupid. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to do.
Are they still talking about a cube in those movies?
Yeah, I think so.
That always drove me crazy from the very first one.
Is it the cube? Yeah.
Well, just that there is a cube. And I was like, oh, no.
My favorite thing about, I think the trailer for the new Transformers movie, and I'll see it, but it's the idea is that, A, Mark Wahlberg's character is named Cade Yeager, which feels like the perfect...
Wait, Cade Yeager as in Jägermeister?
No, Cade Yeager as in like Chuck, like Yeager.
Okay, but still.
Cade Yeager, not J-A, but Y-A-E, like Yeager, Cade Yeager. Like that just sounds like like that guy.
Yeah.
But he actually says in the trailer, Mark Wahlberg's character says in the trailer, "Hey guys, I think we found a Transformer."
Well, they live in a world of Transformers.
No, but... I'm supposed to say it.
Yeah. We got to do something about these. It looks in the camera. Transformers.
We found one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in
something's the happening.
Yeah. Hey, we're in the way, way back. You know, like you wouldn't say, you don't say that. Whenever someone says, I had a friend who in a movie would basically do a space work cheers to the screen if they ever said the title. It was like, we want to sell a Transformer. Yay! Yeah. You know, like you'd have to cheers it out in the movie theater.
There was a great...
you're UC... paying off the title!
That's why you called it that. UCB sketch where it's like, I think it was Besser comes to like a guy, video store, he's like, yeah, I had the titular line in Out of Africa.
Oh my God.
And then like he's like, well, put it in. I'll show me. He's like, I'll bring my copy from home. And he just brings him a copy. He's just like, boy, I really hope we can get Out of Africa. And then like he's like, I also had the titular line in Star Wars. Boy, I'm really tired of all these Star Wars.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
Did he shoot separately him and play it on a video screen?
It's just, you just hear his voice.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. This off-screen character.
Have you been doing any live performing lately?
You know, every now and then do the improv show, The Groundlings, but not much.
Is it the Saturday Night Show, the improv show, or is that that's a
no,
sketch show?
Thursday night.
Thursday night's the improv. Thursday the gas show.
The gas show. So yeah, I've done that quite a bit, but that's pretty much it right now.
And Community is on a you're waiting
we
to find
just,
out.
Yeah, we just had our season finale, so we are in that sort of limbo.
Six probably seasons find out, in a movie.
We'll find out. We're on the bubble, as we always exist. So right. We'll see. We'll know very soon. Yeah. I think it's in a couple of weeks.
I mean, you know, it's... Maybe it doesn't stress you out anymore, or maybe you don't think about it, but it's, you know, just sort of always existing in that space of like, are we or aren't we? Okay, we are. Are we or aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, we are. To go through that five times,
yes.
You know, every year.
It's been at least, I mean, the first to second was the only time we were ever picked up, like, in the process of production. So ever since then, it's been on the bubble.
Jeez.
So you, it's more, you know, obviously it's a blessing no matter what, and you sort of wait that out. It's not a big deal at the end of the day. But we're, you know, the last two seasons we did only 13, so we were done at Christmas. So we had this long sort of Christmas to, you know, May sort of moment of just like, well, we'll see, you know. Mm. You know.
Then everyone goes off and does their own
off
stuff.
Often does their own stuff, yeah.
So how do you reunite the group?
Yeah. Yeah.
You get everyone back.
We got to get us back together.
We got to get it back together for Jim's Big Dick episode.
Oh, God. Oh, man. That's going to be a four-parter.
But the dick or the episode?
Yeah. The dick.
It's four parts?
It's, again, meta. It's the dick and
gotcha.
It's in four parts.
Does that mean it's in four
one's
segments?
One's called the tip. One's the shaft. Ball one, ball two.
Okay, so, great. There's
my
two more balls and you walk.
It's my favorite Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah. What'd you say?
It's my favorite Dr. Seuss book.
Hey. Oh, I love that. Tip, shaft, ball one, ball two. The cat woke up that day. Oh, he was in dismay. His tip, his shaft, his ball one and ball two had all gone away.
Whoa! Improv training!
Pull out. out, pull out. Literally, pull out. That's as far as I can get.
It's a short book.
It's a
short book for a big dick.
And it just says, pull out, pull out.
And then that's it. And then the cat in the hat.
Yeah. The cat's referred to really quickly.
I think he's hiding a big dick under that big tall hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Why am I taking it there all the way?
I don't know. I'm so sorry.
You deserve better than this. You won an Oscar. Like, you don't deserve this.
Ah, more dick talk.
No one ever talks about dicks at the Oscars.
Back to dick talk.
Fucking change that.
That's all people do.
Yeah. Right now, we're counting down our 10 favorite Richards in history.
Number one, Richard Mulligan. You loved him in Soap and Empty Nest.
Oh my God! The fact that as soon as you said it, that's the first thing that came to my head was Empty Nest. Like a screenshot of Empty Nest is somewhere in my brain, and it's been occupying that amount of time with that big, not Saint Bernard, but that dog.
Yeah.
Whatever breed that is.
Oh fuck! I think it was
Saint
Bernard.
It's like new
Great Dane.
No, it wasn't a Great Dane.
No.
Look it up on the internet.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know.
It's not like a Newfoundland, but it looks like that with
Barley
brown hair.
Or Farley or Bar. It was like some kind of a name. Empty Nest, of course, being a spinoff of the Golden Girls.
Yes, how great when they have spinoff episodes. I thoroughly enjoy how they ratchet those things in. And then you spend all this time with these people and like, where did the Golden Girls go? But she just drops by to talk to this pediatrician.
They're taking a break. Yeah, the Golden Girls are taking a break.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, they're a week off. The GGs get a week off.
GGs.
I wonder if Soap holds up. It was
a pretty
groundbreaking show when it came out.
The music does.
It was a mix between a Golden Retriever and a Saint Bernard.
Hmm. Oh, there you go.
Oh.
It was a mutt.
Yeah, a mutt. Did you get his name?
Wait,
we don't want the dog's real name. We want his character.
Dreyfus.
Oh my goodness! Everyone was like, "Please figure it out."
Yeah, everyone was screaming at their radio.
Radio.
Yeah.
There were at least 2 to 5 people.
There
going,
was a collective.
I hope we find out.
Oh, yeah.
The rest fell asleep.
How about that? What are they talking about? This show's old.
Yeah,
these people are old. What are they fucking talking about? Empty. No. What's that?
Yeah,
Soap.
Golden Girls.
Did you guys? Did either of you see 700 Sundays yet?
No, is it Billy Crystal?
The Billy Crystal special?
No. How was it?
Yeah.
Oh, you see it?
Yeah, I watched it. I got through about like 25 minutes of it.
You got through about 100 minutes of
it. You never want to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's just like, it starts off, I read his book, his Still Fooling Him, which has a that phrase never shows up throughout the entire book. And then near the end, it's him like saying he's getting ready to go out and host the Oscars for the 5th time. And then he looks in the mirror just as tie and just laughs to himself and goes, still fooling him. And then he walks out and hosts the Oscars. It's real a lot of self-important stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then in the beginning of the tape version of 700 Sundays, it's him walking around his childhood home, like beautifully shot, but like touching the countertops and looking around, like real wistfully.
Oh, they redid all this.
Yeah, I mean like they go so far, but right before he almost pretty much should have said, a lot of memories in these walls.
Boy, if these walls could talk. If these,
and then I took video of a moment.
Now, is it his actual house he's walking through, or they built a
set?
No,
it seems like
he
it's
grew up
his
on
actual
a set.
House.
Yeah, no, yeah, well, yeah, he's Hollywood.
He is.
Yeah. We all did, really.
So it wasn't... I mean, look, well, he was great when he was on the podcast. I adored Billy Crystal on the podcast. He was great. But you're
I just like I like Billy Crystal a lot. This is actual.
Oh, no.
The problem was he couldn't hear it.
Okay, wait. Before you tell us, imagine what the setup was for that. that's the punchline, or that's the bit. So what's the story right before that happened?
He met one of his idols, maybe?
Do you want to hear it again?
Well, what I'm going to say is he met one of his idols. Someone was uncontrollably farting, and that person was not aware that they were doing it, and he was in an awkward situation because he didn't know what to say. So I'm guessing that was either
a celebrity?
A family member or an idol of his.
I say it's a family member. They were having Sunday dinner. And he was giving a toast and kept farting during the toast. And that's why Billy said, he literally couldn't hear what he was saying. Boom.
Okay.
The problem was was he couldn't hear it.
Okay, we already heard that part. What was the setup?
I just wanted to play it again.
Oh. I thought it was going to be such a nice reveal.
I thought we were going to get a visit.
It was about his grandfather waking up in the morning and waking everybody else up by coughing and then farting. The problem was he couldn't hear it.
Okay.
Well, now I don't see what's wrong with that bit. You're being a comedy snob.
Yeah. No. I'm just thinking it's like I don't like the quick turnaround from him talking about like a jazz guy that gave him like a gift of knowledge and when he was a young kid, and then going, but my grandfather.
I don't see the problem with that.
I know that to me could be like, well, first of all, farts are never not funny.
They're
so.
Always
farts.
Funny.
I love
so
farts.
We're instantly in.
Yeah.
Now, if it was more like a, I remember my dad, and then he dissolves into his character.
Yeah.
Get down here.
Yeah.
Then you're having that little one man show.
The poop and fart jokes. I don't mind.
Oh,
so
I'm
much.
Fine with. I you know I love farts.
Yeah, and
Chris,
you love farts. You love shitting too. You love poop jokes.
Love poop jokes.
Yeah.
I just found that really funny.
Yeah.
But you're saying funny as in ironically funny, not really funny.
Did you watch the special? Watch the special.
I will now because you just sold it on us. I mean,
yeah.
I heard that clip twice. Now I'll be expecting it. Thinking about it. I thought my setup was perfect, but, what are you going to do?
But this is a fun game to play, though. Here's the payoff. What's the premise?
That's true.
That is. Here.
More of a little comedy action game show.
Yeah.
You guys, by the way, you and Danny Pudi and Gillian were fucking phenomenal on At Midnight.
Oh, my God. That was so much fun.
It was so – I mean, to get three people who are fantastic improvisers and who all know each other and are used to working together, there was such a beautiful understanding and a safety net with the three of you there that it was a flawless
it was a lot of fun
show.
It did feel like that. I'm glad I knew the other contestants.
Oh man, well, because sometimes it does, when people don't know each other, there can be a little bit of a, oh, I'll just stay in my own lane because I don't know these people and I don't know where, if I can make a leap, or I don't want to fuck up their thing. And so when people are kind of in their own lane, it can still be funny. But when everyone knows each other, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun.
Have you seen anyone since the...
I had a dinner with Gillian and I've seen Joel a couple times. I'm actually, yes, because he's getting ready to do the White House correspondence dinner.
Oh, that's right.
So I've been listening to him.
Why would anyone want to do that?
I know. I don't know. He's super. I mean, he's going to be great, but he's
no. I know, but
stressed.
It just
who wouldn't be stressed?
Well, of course, it sort of feels like. I mean, I get it. I can understand why you would want to do it in terms of. Oh, and then I got to say I did the White House correspondent, but it just feels like such a steep cliff.
Oh my
for
God,
the payoff. Really not. I don't know what the I guess like, oh, I guess that went well. I mean, I guess it's
yeah.
I don't know. It just feels because you're in a room full of people who are basically kind of stiff and a little stodgy, and and I just the whole thing just makes stresses me out.
Freaked out, like if people go like, oh, off of like, oh, I say, well, that's a positive,
right?
Like, silence is terrible, but if you're doing stand up and you get a oh, it's a reaction, like especially improv.
What if
when you go too far, and it's like, oh, come on, please.
No, people enjoy Joel. He's very likable.
Oh yeah,
he's funny.
For sure.
Yeah.
What if he just unleashes a torrent of really.
Yeah.
Offensive, horrible thinking, like, oh, people will totally get, and then you never hear from him again.
He'll just do that smile and everyone be like, oh.
No, he just the government, like after
just literally
he never
just disappears.
Came out of the White House.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
literally
just disappeared.
Just disappeared.
And somehow we're like, it's sort of like Dark City, where you're like, I feel like I'm having a memory of someone, but I don't, I can't quite put my finger on it. Do you remember what daylight was like? Sure, it was. Well, wait a minute, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
No, I don't
just
think so.
When Greg Kinnear, Aisha Tyler.
No, Greg Kinnear, John Henson. Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks.
Then that's it, right?
Yeah, and then they canceled it.
Well, then there was Web Soup, so they tried to do the web version of it.
But like years later.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. Oh.
Yeah, anyway, what's your salad of the day? You just forget the word soup.
Yeah. The government went to such great lengths to erase all of our memory of Joel McHale.
Just because we accidentally forgot what soup was.
Yes.
Wow. But you know what that means? That means someone gets to reinvent soup. And what a great thing that would be.
Yeah.
Guys, what are the top five things you'd reinvent if you could?
Oh, my God. This is fun.
Number one, yeah. Sundays.
Mm. Wait, reinvent Sundays?
Yeah, like the food or
the day?
No, just the day. Like reinvent it?
Yeah, just have a
make
new,
it different.
You got to check with the big guy upstairs if you want to reinvent his holy day.
Who are you talking about? Gaston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reinvent. Yeah. Now Jesus is Gaston.
No, Gaston's the guy who owns the comic book shop that we're in.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I thought you were doing from Beauty and the Beast.
No, I'm so sorry.
Which
I'm
is so sad. That's another piece of brain. That was a fair place
to take that. I set you up. That was bad improv pitching to me because you didn't have all the information.
It's like that Jesus has become Gaston.
Gaston. Yeah. Gaston Cristo?
Which one? Was Gaston the – what was he?
He was the big guy in the village.
That's right.
You know.
Like
a brute.
The brute.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
He was the village brute.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But what else would you reinvent?
I don't know.
The wheel.
I don't know.
Yeah. You hate the wheel. It is as now.
I hate it.
I know. It's so –
Where are the corners?
Yeah.
I would reinvent traffic to be a lot cummier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I would reinvent human traffic.
I hope that there is a panel of people where someone during sort of one of those things where they ask people's opinions, they gathered some people and said, so, guys, what's your feeling? What do you feel about describe traffic for me? And someone raised their hand and said, cummy.
Yeah.
What do you mean by cummy? I don't know, like sticky. Like too sticky.
Just cummier. It's just a little bit cummier.
So it's sticky. Like you don't like to be installed traffic? Yeah, it's too cummy.
You're stuck there.
Why don't we not – can we not use cummy? Do you mind if I put down you don't like being stuck in traffic? No, because that's not how I feel. Yeah. How do you feel? I don't like being in cum.
Yeah, I thought we were in a safe place where ideas could flourish.
Do you guys
I'm out of here.
Get out of the cummy traffic.
Yeah, that's him walking. That's his high heels going down those steps.
Do you guys want some cummy bears?
Yeah. Can I say I would reinvent, as in destroy, jean shorts.
That's it. Completely just get rid of them.
Do something better with them.
Short jean shorts, or even like
no,
like cut off,
no,
like
not
cut-offs.
Not like cutoffs. Like you made these pretty cool length.
Yeah. Oh, you mean actually?
I mean,
they
go,
they were
let's hem them right here, right above the knee.
Jean shorts.
Done and
with
done.
A pleat.
Yeah,
too.
With a pleat.
Yeah, jeans should never have a
just
pleat.
Anything. And that color of blue that you didn't wash it to get to that blue, and it wasn't super dark. It was. You got it that way.
Yeah. Okay, I would get rid of. Okay, great. So Sundays I would change, and then so jean shorts, and then what would yours be, Jonah?
I said the wheel. I thought that was a pretty good joke.
We're talking about serious things.
Yeah, we're talking about serious things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This podcast.
Boom.
Whoa, shit. Hey, guys, all of a sudden we're not talking about serious things.
Why are you being so cummy?
Boom.
Wait. I thought we had already established that it was a sticky...
No. Yeah.
Jonah's created a lot of cummy podcast traffic right now with his changing the way podcasts are done. What's your problem anyway, bro?
Yeah.
Hey. Jesus. Gaston.
Gaston.
Yeah. We just did an improv exercise.
We did.
Yeah.
We sort of built from your suggestion. Very good.
Yeah, I know. I find the best improv comes by the improviser suggesting.
That was the best herald because we sort of found a game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we got back to that scene.
Yeah, we took it back and we ended with a callback and then that was it. Blackout. People were very happy.
Yeah.
They carried us out.
They carried us out.
Yeah. I haven't been to the Groundlings in so long.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who just joined the Sunday company. So
oh, good.
I feel like, I got to get back. I got to get back to the Growlings.
It's fun. We're getting ready to have our 40th anniversary, which starts in May.
Wow.
So there'll be a lot of special shows, actually.
Oh, man.
You know, like a lot of alumni are going to come back and
like Pat Morita?
I don't know. Maybe they booked him.
He's not alive.
I know. That's why I said. But Gaston can
Tress
make
McNeil
it. Gaston
could
can
come
make
back.
It happen.
Tress McNeil could come back.
They were going to have shows of people that were there during the 80s and 90s and 2000s and 70s. So it should be pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You started with the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Because we all know how we feel. But, well, the 70s was short because it started in 74. So I guess 70s, 80s is going to be probably
just lump
the same
it into one.
Together, I guess.
I hope they all show up period appropriate. So like all the 70s improvisers show up in crazy bell bottoms and giant hair.
Oh, yeah.
Disco shirts.
Yeah. We're still stuck in the past.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Fishbowl shoes.
Yeah.
Or they have the fish in the shoes. Oh, yeah, the goldfish in the in the shoes.
That feels about right.
So what are you? What else are you? What else are you doing for the rest of the summer's about to start? Are you on vacation?
No. I mean, the hope is if we can get this movie going. But
you talked about this last time when you and Nat were here, the Kristen Wiig movie.
Yes. So we're still hoping to get that together, but that's like sort of like a week and a half, and we have to make a decision whether we're going to be able to do it this summer or not. So if that doesn't happen, I think probably just be here, do some writing, you know, and also I'll know about Community in a couple of weeks. So that might make my summer very free.
Oh, yeah, you would know in a couple of weeks because upfronts are almost
here. Yeah, upfronts are almost here. So we'll know because upfronts are the second week of May. So
and so are you emotionally prepared for in either direction?
Yeah, I think it's always the same. You know, I would obviously would love for it to be picked up and love to make that sixth season of a movie a reality. So I have like sort of some closure, but I mean we're lucky that we made it this. Yeah, you know,
the show's
five.
In syndication now, right?
Yeah, it's in going, syndication. Yeah, it's like on. Yes, it's in syndication. So it's all good. So I'm sort of in a good place. I think we all are. You know, hopefully it will happen.
And are you traveling at all this summer? Are you going to take some time off for you?
Well,
Jim?
I have a big trip tomorrow. And I don't know when. Yeah, it's but you'll like the reason. But I have a quick weekend trip. I got an email. This is not gonna be very interesting. We might cry.
You got an email?
I got an email. Yeah. No. I had agreed to go home to my mom's place, which is in Colorado, and she had let me know that she was really upset that I have not visited that particular house because she's moved about 3 years ago. So I've seen her in the last 3 years. Anyway, sure. No sooner did I agree to come that I get an evite that she sent to all of her friends to come to a happy hour party.
Oh, no.
To welcome me.
Oh.
I love that you get an evite for a party that you did not ask for.
You should click, I am not attending.
Yeah.
This is hilarious. So, yeah, so I have that big evite party.
Welcome to happy hour, Jim Rash. The first thing, Jim Rash, not attending.
Can you imagine? And an explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Well, guys, I feel like we should still do this anyway.
Yeah. I was going to say something really horrible, but I can't.
No, you censored yourself.
I censored myself because my comment was going to become dirty, and I was like, well, that feels weird to say it.
Yeah,
to your mom's
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
Anyway, so I don't know if I'm going to. Are you traveling this summer?
I'm going to this great Jim Rash happy hour party in Colorado.
Oh, my God, you're
going
to go?
Yeah, well, everyone's
going. Oh, you know
what?
I'm going to get online and just change my. I didn't know you were going to go.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I read about it in the trades.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, she really is. This is a big deal.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, my friend's DJing it, so I'm probably going to swing
really?
By.
Really?
Yeah,
you're friends with Skrillex, right?
Yeah. Skrillex is going to be DJing it, so I'm probably going to go to the happy hour Jim Rash after party, just because that's the one that more people are going to be at.
Well, I don't want to go too early, because I want to watch E's red carpet coverage.
Oh, I feel so bad. This is a lot bigger deal than I thought. I should.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, your mom's spending hundreds of millions of dollars to put this on.
Hundreds of millions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know there was going to be a red carpet. This is great. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll drop by.
We're right next to a tuxedo shop. You should probably rent something to.
Oh, no, I will. Tails, for sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the suggestion.
Just the tails.
Yeah. I'll see you in Salida.
I feel. Now you've met. Now, how come my mom hasn't thrown me a happy hour party? All the moms are doing it, Mom.
Yeah, everyone's doing creative evites. Save the dates.
Moms must love the evites. I mean, it's so easy. It's like you just, that's it.
Yeah.
With a simple click of a button and a few keystrokes, you could create your own event.
And you can pick this little card. It sort of animates itself. I mean, there's so many
possibilities. I like a brush script.
Yeah. A what?
A brush script font. Nice brush script font.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of watch those. Like those little cards people send you from like Blue Mountain where it's like sort of an animated thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it takes a while. Or then you have to keep clicking on the next piece.
It's worth it though.
I know. The kitten gets out.
Do you right.
What's the kitten
gonna
do?
Oh,
click on this. Oh, it's gonna tap on that yarn ball.
Are you do you feel weird pressure having a party thrown around your arrival?
It feels, to be honest with you, it felt a little weird. Like, you know, at one point she even said, maybe we can do a Q&A. I go, nope.
Whoa,
oh,
hey.
Shit.
Nope. Nope.
You're going to have to be on.
Could you imagine shutting down a party, you know, to go like, hey, guys, I'm going to answer a few questions. Yeah, thank you all for coming to my party.
Yeah. Mom.
Yeah. I know you got a lot of questions about anything and everything. So let's just kill the momentum of this occasion.
For everyone in the Red Robin, please, can you pay attention to me real quick?
I have a question. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
How long is it socially acceptable for me to be here and eat food? How long do I have to stay before
it's
rude? That's
a great question. How many of you would like to leave? Before I answer this guy's question, how many of you would like to leave? believe.
Well, yeah, I guess that's all time.
Okay, okay. So now is an appropriate time is the answer.
Oh, yeah. And your mom's like, wait.
Well, we should start cleaning up.
We haven't done the talent portion of the competition yet. Yeah. Competition?
Competition? Yeah, yeah.
In competition with yourself.
Improvise. Do a one-man show. Improvise it. I'll give you a suggestion.
Your grandfather.
Evite. Grandfather Evite.
Uh-oh.
Oh, granddad. Oh, granddad. He's trying to fill out this Evite, but he won't start farting. The bad thing is, he can't even hear it.
Boom!
That's that kind of baby boomer humor I love.
You just come out and he wets himself. Sorry, guys, this was accidentally a peevite. Come on, everyone. Who brought the punch?
He moves past his dirty joke and gets right to like changing the subject.
Yeah. Oh, I was a little nervous. I was apprehensive about going blue.
I knew I was going to go too blue, and I need to get right to
that
punch.
The crowd.
Right to the punch.
Right to the punch.
What can everyone agree on? Punch!
Quick! But then some guy doesn't understand. He just hits your grandmother.
Yeah.
Wow. And then you're in a Zucker Brothers movie and that your mom also financed.
This party took a weird turn.
Yeah, it was an award show with a red carpet and then,
a
Zucker
Brothers
movie at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's going to be a good Charlie Kaufman movie.
Let's back up now and deconstruct where that improv fell apart.
Okay.
If we were in a class, where did it fall apart, Jim?
Okay. You know what, guys? Let's not go crazy right away. You know, we could have established the party a little bit better.
Okay.
Maybe keep it sort of real.
One of the guests is Jaws.
Understood.
So you're saying
maybe
I blew it by doing the after party too soon.
Yeah. I think we didn't have a chance to do the first party, and then you went to the after party.
Oh.
And, you know, no notes on my end because the farting and the Evite sort of brought us back to a good place. Because you notice I was trying to ground it and create a character so that we had a conflict, so to speak.
Yeah, I was throwing in a callback. I hope that was okay.
It's okay, but guys, that sounds like you're forcing it, you know? Mm. So really let it happen in the moment. Like, you could have really gotten involved with my farting grandpa character.
Okay. You mean like on a relationship level?
Yeah. Sort of say, you know, grandpa, can I speak to you? Maybe we have a change of scenery.
Okay.
I mean, these are great notes.
Right. So, okay. So now, as the teacher, we have to break down the breakdown of the previous improv. We have to break down that improv. So where did the breakdown scene of the previous improv go wrong?
Of my breakdown?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened was...
Was it when I interrupted and talked about the callback?
Yeah, because you were sort of... It's a give and take. I was trying to explain the notes, and then you threw that. So then I had to skip my notes and go to your idea.
Can Jaws be in this one?
Okay, see, now you're doing a callback while I'm trying to explain why the notes I gave make sense.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So now let's do notes of the notes.
Okay.
And the notes.
Okay.
So for me, it was, I didn't even get a chance to do the notes of the notes because you interrupted.
I did that thing where I interrupted you.
So you just did it again.
About,
technically, let's.
I really feel like Jaws would be valuable.
Guys, you got to let me get through it. Okay, I got more notes. Sorry. I have notes for the notes of the notes of the notes. Okay, now see, that's sort of like referencing what you just did, but you're doing it differently.
Okay, is that kind of uncool because usually my thing about interrupting came before the Jaws
thing? That's true. See, so here's a big note because the audience is going to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
What if Groundhog Day, what if they skipped one pivotal moment in Groundhog Day?
Where he just wakes up at the beginning of the movie and then just gets to leave town?
Exactly. So there's no conflict.
Right.
That's what just happened when you reversed those beats.
Oh.
Right now someone's like, I'm writing this down.
Yep, 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 yep.
Are you rewinding?
I'm reversing the beats.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, is that dubstep?
You're ba 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 da 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 ba 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 da da da.
I love it. That's sort of Over the Rainbow.
Yeah. I can't get the rights to that.
Oh, I know. Okay.
Somewhere over the rainbow. Trying to go just opposites.
Yes. Yeah, so they can't. We didn't buy it.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
There is a DVD with
meow.
Now wait, see now. This is a guy in our improv troupe who will not let the Jaws bit go.
Yeah.
He's been working on it forever.
Well, people like cats. You don't like Jaws? We'll just make it about meow, 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 meow.
I think you just randomly looked at the internet and then came to our show tonight.
We're going to meet a bigger cat. Meow, 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 meow,
meow.
Close the beaches.
That's Dreyfuss, the dog from Empty Nest, playing Richard Dreyfuss in the movie Jaws.
So many levels. So many levels.
Sir, is that a are you proud of
he
yourself?
He just got proud of it. You guys can't see it.
I just spiked my water
bottle. He just spiked his water bottle top as if
fucking
he was like,
meow!
Now, I brought it all back.
Ah, I am the lawnmower man.
So many levels.
More levels are good, right? As many levels as you can pile on as possible.
It's dense and we can take it apart.
Yeah,
it's great.
Even if
it's
the dense part, right?
It's not connected. What voice was that? Was that Bruce Gutter?
No. It was just my dad joke voice.
Oh, I know. I was going to say, it's always a raised eyebrow, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all sound, all my voices sound the same. I had a great dad joke at the Ren Fair the other day. I said,
well, that's a great sentence already.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I went to the Ren Fair and we were at the petting zoo. And there was a, you know, there was a bunch of goats everywhere. I said, and I was so proud of it. This petting zoo sucks. Let's make like hay and bale.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, and what happened to you right afterwards?
I fucking ascended upon the heavens.
I knew it.
And I went up there, and right before me was Lenny Bruce, Rodney Dangerfield, and Jerry Seinfeld. Don't know what he was doing there. Mm-hmm. And they said, good job, kid.
That's great.
Get back down there.
A goat started rubbing my cock, and I realized I was in the heavy petting zoo.
Boom.
There you go. Another dead.
Yeah.
I tried to get to the Ren Fair, but the traffic was so cummy. I mean, it was like one of those things. Like, I was in full costume ready for the Ren Fair.
Yeah.
And I had two extra goats because they were like we don't have enough.
Yeah.
But the goats were saying that about themselves?
The goats were saying that they're
Yeah, but you were in that really old car that always like shot back.
Yeah, I had a jalopy. It was sort of like what the Beverly Hillbillies are.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just making so much noise.
This is like a steeplechase yes and where you're just picking the wrong things to yes and.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're sort of on our own tangents.
Yeah, so,
and we just keep going back to our own individual tangents.
So Rodeo Drive? You said Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive?
Yeah.
That's in Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Beverly Hills. How about Troop Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're actually sort of building on each other now.
That bit's not Shelley Long for this world.
What'd you say?
I said that bit's not Shelley Long for this world.
Oh.
I didn't know. I was trying to smash it in.
No, that's good.
A little bit. What if Shelley Long were played by Jaws?
In that particular movie?
Just in all of her career. How much greater would that scene in Cheers have been if Jaws just took a fin and slapped Sam Malone across the face, and then he slapped Jaws, and then they made out. But then she accidentally ate him because he's a shark.
Yeah, and then the shark started dating Kelsey Grammer's character.
That's right. I mean,
that would be a great scenes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all these scenes would be great.
they're all great ideas, guys.
These are great.
Yeah.
But that probably happened during the network testing. That's when that thing goes. Like, you know what people love? Jaws. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it came out. I know, but Cheers is not that far away from it. it's pretty. It's a number of years away.
If you were a crazy billionaire and you also had a time machine, wouldn't it be fun to go back in history and try to see how much you could affect something like Cheers by getting a lot of people in the focus groups to say it needs more shark?
Yeah.
Like completely random sample to the network, a random sampling of people. Of course, you've gone back because you know there was a fixed point in time that you understood, so you went back and put those people in there. But would the network respond if they tested the show over and over again and people kept saying needs more shark?
Yeah.
At what point do you think they would just have added a shark to Cheers?
I don't know. Right away.
Yeah.
You think so?
Instead of Woody Harrelson.
As soon as it was popular, as soon as they tested that thing and, you know, 12 men and 12 women said, you know what I'd love to see is more sharks in there. Wait, I'm sorry, really? Yes. Like, what if Cheers was a bar at an aquarium?
Yes. Oh,
and,
this is great.
See? And so now instantly, I'm like, yeah, I'm working. But you know how? So there's always this danger. You know? It's like Shelley Long was a fish out of water, literally.
Yes.
At the bar. So why not make her
literally a fish
a shark?
Out of water? Yeah, yeah. Shark out of water.
Is a shark a fish?
Huh?
Is a shark a fish?
It is.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why I said it like that in case I was wrong. before someone's just like, okay.
Making.
Wait.
Making your way in this world today. Take everything you got on. Ga-da-da-da. Sometimes you got to go where people go to your name or everybody knows your name.
Yeah. I think you lost the rhythm.
Stop. So, yeah. When did I have it?
At first.
That's the name of my album. I Lost the Rhythm.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, when did I have it?
It's always great. It's always great when you're mid-bit and you look at someone and your face is starting to shrink back into your skull, Jonah. Where you're like, I just ate something. I just ate a sour ball.
This feels weird.
Did you eat a lemon or something?
No.
Your lips are pursing.
Oh, I don't want it. Don't put it in my mouth.
It's like,
oh, well. That sounded dirty.
It sure did.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the way you took it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right.
That's good improv.
Yeah. I don't think you know what good improv is.
Yes, and I do.
Yes. That's Here we are at this barbershop having this conversation.
That's a yes and denial.
Look, a shark.
Good. That's okay. Yes and it.
James Woods?
Yeah, good. Guys, try to make sentences. Don't just yell things out.
Oh.
I'm side coaching.
I believe it's also James Woods.
Okay, don't talk at the same time.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to give you a new one.
All right. Okay.
These two guys are meeting at a library, and lights up.
I am a shark.
No.
Excuse me, I'm a shark.
Okay, first of all, don't shut him down, but also...
I thought we were in a fucking library today.
Whoa, it's very aggressive.
Okay,
he's a teacher.
Down.
You're just,
Jonah,
you know,
calm down.
Try to respect.
Okay, look, I love that you labeled yourself a shark, but maybe make it more organic so we don't have to know right away that you're a shark. You know, like let the scene breathe, okay? So I'm going to give you a new location.
Okay.
You're now at an amusement park.
Okay.
And go.
I'm not a shark.
Okay, no, it doesn't make sense that you don't have
to...
I thought
you said don't let him know that I was a shark.
I know, but
why don't you let me try to...
Okay.
Fix it.
Let me see if you can fix it.
I'm having a lot of time working with him. He's really aggressive.
Look, this makes you a better
I'm giving
improviser.
Him all this gold, and he's just spinning it into coal.
Well, subjective, what you think is gold right now. But
okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
So you are at a concession stand.
Okay. Excuse me, do you have any shark treats?
Yes, we got all kinds. What are you looking for?
I'm a shark. Do you have any seal chips?
You're a shark.
I thought I made that abundantly clear with the words, I am a shark. Could I have seal chips, which would be a food item that sharks
eat? We don't carry seal chips. I don't think you're a shark.
Okay. First of all, I just want to say...
I don't know what
I love that scene. I loved everything about it. I knew who you were. I knew what you wanted. And I knew that you were puzzled by it. So there's conflict.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to live in a real world.
And I love that you live... Yeah, and you lived in a real world where he was not a shark. And I mean, that's one of those scenes, like if I let it go, and I would have, that's like a two-hour improv that I would never lose interest in.
Yeah,
can I be honest about something? One small part of the reward center in my brain took a win because of you... Like, I love that scene. And part of me was like, I think we did it.
There is nothing.
Couldn't stop my brain from doing that.
There is nothing better than giving good notes to bad improv and just being so positive about it. I loved it.
We're doing it. We're doing it.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, great. Great, guys.
I don't know.
Really great class. And I hope we get a couple more people in it. Two's fine, but you guys get to do a lot of scenes together.
Well, every warm-up is kind of boring with just playing Zip Zap.
I know. Well, but that's a great warm-up.
Well, we were the only two people who responded to this Evite.
Yeah. Oh, God. But a lot of people responded that they couldn't get here because of the coming traffic.
Boom.
No. Mm-hmm. Is that proper improv to say boom after every...
Yes. Yes. When in doubt, say boom as if that was a
How
burn.
Else are people going to know where the punch is, huh?
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. More like a burn. It's like my version of burn.
Boom.
Boom.
Kabow.
Kabow.
The writer's room... are we in an hour, Katie?
Did
holy shit, dude.
Let's just keep going.
You want to marathon it?
Yeah. How? What's our marathon?
7 hours.
57
minutes.
Let's
do it. 57 minutes. Yeah.
7 hours and 57
minutes. I'm done. Pull out. Literally. Tip, shaft, and ball one and ball two. Ow!
Oh my God, you put the whole thing in.
Yeah, no, I'm really it.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
I want that Dr. Seuss book to exist. And he was like, I went to a really dark place. Was that for adults?
No.
I hope.
I don't know.
I hope.
Tip, shaft, ball one, ball two.
Tip, shaft, ball one, ball two. They traveled to Kalamazoo. How far to Kalamazoo, said ball one and ball two. Shaft and tip got really upset and shit out some cum on ball one and ball two. I'm so sorry.
No, it fell apart though. So let's talk about where that fell apart. Let's talk about where that fell apart. So you were doing a really good job up to the
part where I had one rhyme with a Kalamazoo.
It was clear that your brain was bailing on the bit. You didn't believe in the bit. You have to believe that ball one and ball two are going to Kalamazoo, and then what do they do when they get there?
My issue with it as an improviser and also as a, in the moment was I realized that what I had not done was establish who Tip and Shaft really are as characters.
Right.
Ball one and ball two, I get it. I know who they are. It's like my Tweedledum and my Tweedledee. But Tip and Shaft just were underdeveloped.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can Shaft be a shark?
Yes.
Like Jaws?
Why not?
Okay.
So Shaft's a shark and Tip is a tortoise.
Mm-hmm.
So that
the classic tale, the tortoise and the shark.
Oh, my God. Tip, that's a great one. Maybe there's a B story where Shaft and Tip race.
Yeah.
You know, very much like the hare.
But Tip always wins because he's on the end.
Yeah, he's exactly. Yeah.
And
exactly.
Shaft just wants to...
And Shaft keeps eating him.
It's an inspirational story about a dick who really just tries to find itself.
Yeah. I really like
that. Shaft really wants to...
It really teaches kids about their bodies and to be okay with it.
And how to win races.
You're really fleshing out the Tip and the Shaft.
Hey!
Yeah, yeah. Ball one and ball two are really becoming B characters now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they, you know...
Mm-hmm.
I would have said strike one and strike two. All right, guys?
Yeah, boom.
Ow, ow, ow.
Oh, my God.
Stop it.
What? No, fuck
Why?
You. Like
what are you?
It.
God, he's really hitting him.
Yeah, I know.
So Dr. Seuss, get on that.
Oh, I got bad news.
What?
He's dead.
No.
Motherfucker died.
No.
Yeah.
Motherfucker
Not in
dead.
This world.
Motherfucker.
Not in my world.
Be dead.
How dare you?
Motherfucker be dead.
What?
He dead.
No.
Dr. Seuss. Dead. That motherfucker died.
Do you want me to turn you up?
This here the tale about how Dr. Seuss... This is the tale of how Dr. Seuss
Wait, why'd your
found
character
himself
change?
When he went to...
Oh, you know, I just decided to cast Dr. Seuss in the role of
oh,
Andy
good,
Dufresne.
Good. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt. Go.
Oh, wait. Yeah. So Dr. Seuss is talking about himself in first person?
No, Dr. Seuss is talking about... I'm replacing Tim Robbins' character in Shawshank Redemption with Dr. Seuss.
Oh, okay.
And so yeah. I shifted into Morgan Freeman, which I do sometimes because it's a really...
I want to see my friend.
It's a good impression. I mean, it's a really good... It's a really good... This isn't me, but Morgan Freeman. I almost choked on my own spit, but...
Yeah.
Andy Dufresne swam through a mile of piss and shit I can't even imagine. Mm.
Wow. Do the story of the Sneetches now.
Jaws was a shark who just wanted to find love. And instead, he found angry Richard Dreyfuss, and then Roy Scheider was also there making them jazz hands on the boat while Robert Shaw tried to blow him all up. Feel like we passed out some lemons to the audience today. All their faces are
No, I got so sucked in. I just like him... sort of narrating the actual movie.
And they gave Jaws a lemon, and he realized he enjoyed the taste of citrus and never ate another person again as long as he lived. The end.
Did he die, though, because he couldn't find any more lemons in the ocean?
I don't know. That's for part three, Shawshank 3 in 3D.
Oh, that was two. Gotcha. Now I'm in.
I think I jumped ahead. I just didn't want to do two.
There's always the best movies are the first and the third. The sequel's always better.
I don't like to do trilogies as much as prime number sequences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So it'll be 1, 3, 5, 7.
Have we reached that historic number of 57 minutes?
Oh my God! Wow. Well, here's what I think we should do to finish up. We'll do a quick round of punchline setup.
Okay.
So you give us the punchline to a joke that it doesn't matter what it is, and then we're going to quickly say the quick setup to that joke.
Okay. So
off our brilliant Billy
Crystal. Is it a real joke or is it just an?
Just give us any line. We're going to tell you what that wonderful line is that set up that great joke.
Okay. And that's when I found my dick in the sand.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Two dicks walked onto the beach. One said to the other, "You already gave the punchline, so I
know." Oh, I don't know though, because I feel like there was a midsection. Yeah.
My game,
I had the ball one and ball two, and you had the tip, but there was no shaft.
I'm sorry, I sort of panicked because my game is really hard to do. Yeah.
Okay,
it was easier when it was Billy Crystal's bit.
Uh oh.
Okay, you do one.
Do a punchline?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I do this all the time.
"Hi, I'm Jonah Ray, and I'm going to kill the momentum."
Are you fucking kidding me? That's like a... That's mean of you to just throw me under the bus like that.
What? Wow. I was doing a character. I didn't realize.
Wow.
You can't take anything seriously if I'm in character.
Yeah. No.
The character of Chris Hardwick, my friend that I've known for a long time?
Well, yeah.
No.
You know, the public persona of
him. It was clearly
him.
A heightened version of him. He was playing him much more antagonistic.
Sorry it didn't involve dicks, Chris.
Oh, well, you know.
You know what?
What?
How fucking dare you? Dicks put bread on the
you know
table.
What? You know what? Yeah, exactly. You're being really cummy right now. You know? And by that I mean completely sticky.
Yep. And trafficky.
And trafficky.
This is good momentum. I didn't kill shit.
Well, you just killed the momentum by talking about the momentum being killed. You, I really don't appreciate your attitude.
No, I don't appreciate you.
Guys, can I give notes on this argument?
Sure.
Yeah, where'd we go wrong?
Here's my... Well, I'm going to say from the start.
Okay. Start of the podcast or start of the...
No. I here are the things I loved.
Okay.
I loved your character.
Oh, thank you.
I loved it, yeah.
I worked on it a little bit.
No,
I mean, I wanted to...
Yeah. What I didn't appreciate, Jonah, was calling him out on it.
Yeah.
Because what happened in that moment, you know what I'm saying, is that you took us out of it for a second because we were so deep into his character. I want to know your backstory.
Yeah, I'm in the...
Like, what happened to that guy before he got to that moment at the club where he said that about that guy's joke?
Yeah.
Where did he come from?
Kalamazoo.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. See?
Okay.
See what he did there?
I thought he was just personally attacking me.
Well, that's because you're stupid.
You have.
Oh,
see?
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
his character again. And now.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't saying you're stupid. That's me as the character of Chris Hardwick.
I'm sorry. I thought we were out of the scene.
No,
I was.
No.
I stepped back into it for a sec to prove a point.
See, I knew he did.
See,
the point it being that you're stupid.
I don't think this is allowed for him to jump in and out of the scene. It feels like I can't get a footing.
Sounds like something a stupid person would say.
That's what's called. That's called improv. All right. That's literally what you just said is, I hate improv based on that sentence you just said.
But you wanted to do this, Jonah. This is your idea.
Stop the scene. Huh? You stopped the scene.
I didn't
first.
Stop
you,
anything
you.
Because right now I am a character of the doctor.
Yep.
So I'm not even who you think I am right now.
But you stopped the scene to talk about the scene.
I hear a lot of you coming out of your mouth and not enough I.
I'm just trying to figure out if I'm real or I'm just a character in this bit. Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, Jonah Ray faded away into non-existence. Mm-hmm.
And blackout.
Oh my God, there's a blackout.
No, literally.
I can't
so
see anything.
Sorry. I announced it thinking it was the end of the improv.
Do we go blind?
It literally has gone black.
That's it. Everything's gone. I can't see anything anymore. Well, I guess let's...
Ouch. 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 I'm a gout.
Shit.
Ouch.
Why did you rhyme your ouch?
Oh, man.
Billy Crystal's grandfather.
So... I like the last 2.5 minutes of me coming insane. Play it.
What?
The problem was he couldn't hear it.
Oh, but we hear the big laugh after that.
Yeah, Instagram cut
he
it
knew
off.
It was coming.
15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone. Enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy. Why are you locking eyes with me when you do this stuff?
Enjoy a burrito.
This is like, are you trying to do the scene from Wolf of Wall Street?
I just feel like that no one in the podcast space yet has decided to end the show with a staring competition.
Oh, we should do it.
You want to do it?
You guys do it. I'll judge it from downstairs in my car as I leave.
Okay. Well, then, you know what? Let's start our staring contest, and then you Foley, how long... all your way to what your exit.
Okay.
I want to hear everything that happens as you're exiting this. Are you ready to stare?
Here we go.
Well, I'm out of here. Oh, God, I can't believe that thing went on for way too long. A bird.
Fuck.
Hello, bird. What's your name?
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, my God. You
I'm looking for a local hangout to do a staring contest.
Oh, well,
any idea where I might find one?
It's funny you asked her. There's
boom, in your face. I was a character. What the fuck are you doing? We were up there doing a staring contest and you just left?
You were supposed to be doing the Foley and you stopped to talk to a fucking bird.
No. Yeah. It was all part. I was on my way to my car. I was still walking.
It sounded like you were talking to a bird.
Yeah. What did the fucking bird landed on my finger?
The bird didn't land on your finger. You were called out to a bird.
Yeah. And it landed on my fucking
finger. I'm so sick of your excuses and your lies.
When was the last time that ever happened to you?
Well, that doesn't happen to anybody.
You know what? I'm out of here. Oh, I think I'll get on this Ferris wheel. One ticket, please. All right, sir. Here's your ticket. Enjoy the Ferris wheel. Click, click. Oh, hi, ma'am. Do you mind if I share this Ferris wheel ride?
I'm not a woman. I'm Jonah. Why'd you bail on the bed and walk downstairs?
You know what, guys? I'm so sick of your bullshit and your bailouts and your bad improv. I am out of here. Oh, my God. Shark, Danny.
I'm being eaten by a shark. I can't believe I can still talk. I'm out on Sunset Boulevard.
I'm not a shark. It's me, Jim. How dare you leave? We were just in the middle of taking apart both of our improvs, and then you go and you bring back your own shark bit.
Could you please spit my heart back out, please? You've devoured half of me. Oh, perfect.
How dare you just jump back into his improv after you ended it?
Oh, fuck. Cummy traffic. We did it!
We did it. We really did it.
Scene.
We really had it.
No one do anything else. No one do anything else. No, that's it.
We'll never beat that moment.
No one do anything else.
He couldn't hear it.
Stop it!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.